You're listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum from humanmedia.org. Why are dietary guidelines for cancer prevention relevant for someone who has already been diagnosed with cancer?
I think those guidelines for prevention are really important for a couple different reasons. Number one, they pretty much make up the foundation of a healthy diet. Eating more fruits and vegetables, eating more whole grains, cutting back on saturated fat are good no matter who you are and what you're experiencing. And especially for cancer survivors who, you know, may be at risk of cancer recurrence, may be at risk of developing a second primary cancer, and because of treatment, may be at risk for cardiovascular disease as well, those guidelines to eat a healthy diet, be more active, maintain a healthy weight, become that much more important for cancer survivors.
So cancer is an opportunity to underline health recommendations that are useful for people at any time.
Absolutely. And many cancer survivors will tell us, you know, number one, we're concerned about recurrence. What can we do? And number two, how can we help our family members? You know, now that there's a family history of cancer, what can we tell our children? What can we tell our siblings about eating better and being more active? So it's a really important time to talk about nutrition, talk about activity.
And tell us a little bit about the risk of either recurrence of cancer in the same site or cancer cropping up in another site for somebody who's been diagnosed.
Yeah, we really don't know how much nutrition and physical activity can impact recurrence. There really hasn't been a lot of studies done on that. But what we're starting to see, in particular for breast cancer survivors, is that breast cancer survivors who are overweight or who gain weight post-diagnosis are more likely to have a breast cancer recurrence. And so especially with that population of cancer survivors, which is a large number of survivors, we really focus in on that audience and talk about the importance of weight control in terms of recurrence.
Are there any particular techniques for breast cancer survivors that would be helpful in weight control?
You know, I think it's the same as many other women that we talk about weight control. Certainly, first and foremost, watching portion sizes, watching how much you eat. How much you eat is as important, especially for weight control, as what you're eating. So watching portion sizes, selecting lower calorie foods like fruits and vegetables, like whole grains, those types of foods for snacks and meals rather than, you know, sitting down and having, you know, a bag of chips in the afternoon. And we really can't forget about physical activity. It's one piece of the puzzle people tend to forget about. Being active is important for weight management. It's important for weight control. And so certainly women with breast cancer, we want to encourage them to be active as well.
For many years now, the American Cancer Society has advised people to eat a plant-based diet where most of the foods a person eats should be vegetables, fruits, grains, beans, non-animal products. Mm-hmm. Why is that your advice?
That's our advice because that's what the evidence suggests we should be telling people about reducing their risk of cancer. We see from the evidence that animal foods, especially red meats, processed meats, dairy products that are high in saturated fat have been connected to colon cancer and to prostate cancer in men. So we encourage people to limit those sources of saturated fat in their diet, and again, to focus largely on those plant-based sources. And one question we always get is, should I become a vegetarian? Is that what I should do to prevent cancer risk? And being a vegetarian can be a really healthy way of living, a healthy, you know, way to eat. But there's really not evidence that vegetarian diets offer any more protection over and above kind of our what we recommend, a mostly plant-based diet with minimal amounts of red meat, saturated fat, if you choose to eat those foods.
So would it be accurate to say that your recommendations for a plant-based diet encourage people to become, could we use the term semi-vegetarians, not necessarily strict vegetarians, although you're saying that can be a very healthy way to go. Mm-hmm. But for people who have grown up with a heavy meat and animal product-based diet, to shift into that direction.
Yeah, I never think that's a bad idea. If you've grown up being a meat and potatoes kind of person, there's really lots of benefits over and above cancer to switching to more that place plant-based diet. Heart disease as well. We know diets high in saturated fat, just as we're saying for particular types of cancer, diets high in saturated fat can increase risk of heart disease. So I think it's a great idea for people who have been traditional meat eaters, if you will, their whole lives, to switch to more of that plant-based diet. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have to give up all meat, all dairy products, eggs, et cetera. But certainly switching to that more plant-based diet, there's pretty good evidence that that's better for your health.
What are good strategies for people with cancer who feel a loss of appetite or who have other symptoms like dry mouth or difficulty swallowing or nausea?
Sure.
What can help them?
There's lots of things, and you mentioned a lot of the side effects that many cancer survivors experience once they're going through treatment, nausea being a top one. One thing we say in particular with nausea is look at eating smaller meals throughout the day. We pretty much see in clinical practice that cancer survivors who are eating 5-6 smaller meals throughout the day rather than 3 large meals tend to have lower rates of nausea. And another thing we always talk to cancer survivors about is not drinking liquids with your meal. Keeping liquids in between meals separate from the food you eat tends to cut down on nausea as well, which can be real helpful. And we also, you know, a number of people going through treatment have mouth sores, have swallowing problems. If there are mouth sores present from treatment or you have a sore throat or a sore mouth otherwise, watching the acidic foods that you eat, avoiding citrus fruits, for example, avoiding tomatoes, for example, can help if you have mouth sores. And frequently,
because it just stings.
It just irritates those sores, irritates the throat, irritates the mouth. And frequently people will tell you, too, I'm just not hungry. You know, I don't want to eat. And certainly going through cancer treatment is you really require a lot of calories, a lot of protein to get through that treatment, to speed your recovery, et cetera. And so we encourage people, you know, look for those times a day when you really do feel hungry and eat then. And certainly eat what you like when you like. You know, your main goal, especially undergoing treatment, is to get in sufficient calories, hopefully to maintain your weight, which another important thing to think about is how much protein you're eating during that time. And one thing we talk to people about in general is you know, healthy sources of fat, healthy sources of carbohydrates, you know, cutting back on the butters, cutting back on sugar. But during treatment, if one of your main goals is trying to maintain your weight, our goal is get calories in you any way we can. And if that means, you know, adding butter and sour cream on a baked potato, do it. If it means putting, you know, spreading jam on your toast, do it. Look for any ways like that to get more calories in. And some people will find that for whatever reason, maybe it's because of mouth sores, maybe it's because they're having trouble swallowing foods. Some people find that either commercially prepared beverages or smoothies or milkshakes that you make at home are ways to drink more calories, different ways to get more calories in if for whatever reason you can't eat enough food to maintain your weight and maintain your nutrition status.
And how does eating well help people cope with the side effects of treatment?
Yeah, I think that's really important to talk to cancer survivors about, because certainly there are a number of side effects that can impact your nutrition status. And, you know, we mentioned nausea for one thing, eating smaller meals, holding liquids between meals. We also, you know, talk about dry mouth, and that if you're experiencing that, you want to probably avoid things like crackers, dry toast, et cetera. But some of the major side effects that people have, nausea, constipation, diarrhea, there are different bits of dietary advice you should follow. Certainly if you're constipated, we want you drinking as many fluids as you can. We want you eating more fruits and vegetables, whole grain sources of fiber to help with that. If you are experiencing diarrhea, we would talk to you about avoiding refined sugars, some of the refined sugars you might find in snack foods like cakes or cookies. We'd want you to avoid even some of the simple sugars found in fruit. So there's some ways that the diet can have an impact on some of the side effects that you might experience while you're undergoing cancer treatment.
When we're asking people in general to follow the dietary recommendations to eat essentially a plant-based plate of food, What are some good substitutions for people who want to cut down on the animal products?
People who want to cut down on the animal products, it's really simple to do if that's what you're trying to do. You do need to keep in mind, though, one of the main nutrients that's found in animal products is protein. And protein is especially important while you're undergoing cancer treatment because that helps with healing. It helps maintain immune function. So other sources, high protein foods, instead of eating meat, beans, legumes, those are great healthy sources of protein that can be good substitutes for meat.
I'd just like to ask, what are your favorite bean foods?
I'll tell you what. I put black beans in just about everything. I put it in salads. I mix it with corn and tomatoes and balsamic vinegar and cilantro. I put it in chili with white navy beans as well. So I put beans in just about everything.
And as you say, those are a healthy source of protein from the vegetable kingdom.
Absolutely, absolutely. And power-packed with nutrients we talk about in terms of cancer prevention as well. So beans at any time for anyone is a good food to add to your diet.
Also good fiber.
Absolutely, good fiber and the kind of fiber that helps reduce your cholesterol level. So that's, you know, a double whammy benefit for you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs are another good source of protein. Some saturated fat in them, but, you know, hard-boiled eggs sliced up on a salad, good source of protein. One thing that people tend to forget about are nuts and seeds, sunflower seeds, nuts like almonds, cashews. Those are good sources of protein, plant sources of protein, high calorie as well. So especially, you know, could be beneficial to cancer survivors who are looking to up their calorie level. And when you talk about nuts, you can't not talk about one of my favorite foods, peanut butter. And that's another. I mean, it's a good plant source of protein. It is high in fat and calories, but a lot of the fat that's in peanut butter is the healthier fat that we want people consuming. Certainly, there's minimal amounts of protein in breads, rice, cereals, vegetables, but beans, eggs, low-fat or fat-free dairy products are great sources of protein. And one of the things that's nice about the dairy products is that just about every single dairy product out there comes in a lower-fat version. So as cancer survivors move from active treatment to beyond and looking at, you know, making these lifelong healthy changes in their diet, these low-fat dairy products are great sources of protein, great sources of calcium, great sources of vitamin D.
So this is a tricky line you have to walk in your capacity at the American Cancer Society of, on the one hand, generally encouraging people to exercise weight control, especially, as you say, for breast cancer survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, before a person has completed their treatment, when in fact keeping up enough calorie intake is important to guide them to those foods where that's possible.
That's right. And you're right. In some ways, it is a fine line because, as you say, on the one hand, we want people to select low-fat products. We want people to cut down on refined sugars. We want people to watch portion sizes. But we have to recognize there are times, and cancer treatment is one of those times, where you really need to focus on the main issue, nutrient quality, having enough nutrients to maintain your nutritional status, and also helping prevent unintentional weight loss. But our goal certainly is to help survivors get through treatment with the best nutritional status they can. And then as they get beyond treatment, as they are going back to, you know, living a life as a cancer survivor, that's when we want to talk to them too about, you know what, now's the time. Take control. If you're not at a healthy weight, work to achieve a healthy weight. If you haven't been active, start an activity program. And if you really haven't been paying too much attention to your diet, now's a great time to do that.
So, Colleen, what do you recommend a person do to change their diet after treatment?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different things. One is looking at just the type of diet you have been eating and the type of diet we'd really like you to eat. So similar to as we've talked about before, if you're somebody who's been eating lots of meat and potatoes kind of person, really look at how you can cut back on those food sources, those heavy sources of protein, those protein sources that tend to be high in saturated fat, and look at adding first and foremost, more fruits and vegetables to your day. Our recommendation is that people get at least 5 servings as a minimum, and that they focus really on the most colorful ones. Those are the ones that have the most nutrients, the most antioxidants, the most phytochemicals in general.
So where do you weigh in on the federal health recommendations recently upgraded that women consume a minimum of 7 daily servings of fruits and vegetables, and men a minimum of 9 daily servings of fruits and vegetables?
We absolutely support those federal guidelines for overall health. There's pretty clear evidence that women and men, based on their calorie needs, need those levels, those numbers of servings throughout the day. Our position, strictly from a cancer perspective, is that the evidence demonstrates that at least 5 is needed for cancer prevention. However, we absolutely support more fruits and vegetables for people based on their calorie needs, as USDA has come out with. And another thing I'll mention, too, about fruits and vegetables and the importance of fruits and vegetables is that there's more and more evidence that fruit and vegetables can help with weight control.
Do you have any tips for healthy food preparation?
There's a number of guidelines for food safety, as we talk about with cancer survivors, because frequently while survivors are undergoing treatment, they have decreased immune function. They're not as able to protect themselves against certain bacteria, certain parasites that might be present on food. So we encourage cancer survivors to always, always, always wash your hands very thoroughly before you eat anything, before you prepare any food at all. We encourage people to keep their cutting boards, their knives very clean, and always separate your meat products from anything you might be cutting up and cleaning around fruits and vegetables that you might eat raw. Certainly in terms of other food preparation tips, if you're trying to eat healthy, one easy thing is watching how much fat you add when you're cooking, especially when you are out of treatment, looking to, you know, launch a healthier lifestyle, cut back on calories, and maintain a healthy weight. Cooking with fat adds a lot of calories to your food. So, for example, I usually encourage people, hey, if you're sauteing up some chicken and vegetables, for example, you don't need to put as much oil in the pan, or use a fat-free cooking spray.
Which oils are you recommending as most appropriate for cancer survivors?
Well, and I don't know that it's a question of which oils are most appropriate for cancer survivors. I think there are oils that are most important and most beneficial for overall health. And the two I always recommend people focus on, if you're only going to have 2 in your cupboard, have an olive oil in there and have a canola oil in there. Those oils are highest in monounsaturated fats, and we know those good types of fats help reduce the risk of heart disease. There's really not any good evidence about monounsaturated fats reducing cancer risk, but for the heart disease benefits, those are the types of oils we typically recommend to people.
But certainly no suggestion that they would be harmful for cancer patients or increase cancer risk.
No, not at all. And one thing I tell people about, too, is that they're still, even though those are healthy fats, they're still real high in calories. So especially post-treatment and beyond, if you're looking at cutting back on total calories to help maintain weight, cutting back on those types of products that are so high in calories is a good way to cut back on your overall calories. So I'll tell people, you know, if you're going to use those, let's say you're going to use those oils in a stir fry, use half of what you might usually use.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Getting out for a walk throughout the day offers a lot of benefits over and above just the physical activity benefits, lots of mental, emotional benefits as well from getting out there and being active. And so we encourage survivors to talk to their healthcare team.
And is the recommendation still about 30 minutes a day?
That's what we encourage. And especially with cancer survivors, is work up to that. We're not saying, you know, get out there right now. If you haven't been active, get out there right now and do 30 minutes. But our main message to cancer survivors, especially while undergoing treatment, is don't discount being active necessarily. But talk to your healthcare team and look where you can add little bits of activity throughout your day. We get a number of survivors who tell us, you know, I thought I would be so tired doing that, but it actually gave me more energy. And if you have been active before, if you were active before a cancer diagnosis, it's a great idea to keep up as much activity as you can, even during treatment.
And I guess if it seems like a chore or seems difficult, there's nothing quite like having a partner to go walking with.
Absolutely. You know, that helps all of us at various times, is having somebody to keep us motivated. But you also bring up a good point, is that if you're really just not feeling like it, don't necessarily do it. You know, if you're really feeling tired, if you've had a tough treatment, don't always feel like you have to force yourself out the door. Listen to your body. And if your body's screaming at you, today's not the day to go for a walk, don't push yourself. Don't do that.
You've been listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum. I'm David Freudberg. For more information and to learn about Walking Through the Storm, our radio documentary project for cancer survivors, please go to humanmedia.org. Thank you for listening.